When word came to Salabat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Salabat and Geshem sent me this message: "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono." But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply: "I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" 4 times they sent me the same message, and then each time I gave them the same answer. Then the 5th time, Salabat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem: there is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together." I sent him this reply: "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, "Now strengthen my hands."
ネヘミヤ記6章1節から9節まで日本語でお読みします。さて、私が城壁を立て直し、破れ口は残されていないということが、サヌバラテ、トビア、アラブ人、ゲシュム、その他の私たちの敵に聞こえると、その時まで私はまだ門に扉を取り付けていなかった。サヌバラとゲシュムは私のところに使いをよこしていった。さあ、斧の平地にある村の一つで会見しよう。彼らは私に害を加えようと企んでいたのである。そこで私は彼らのところに使者たちをやって行った。私は大工事をしているから下っていけない。私が工事をそのままにしてあなた方のところへ下って行ったため、工事が止まるようなことがあってよいものだろうか。すると彼らは同じようにして4度も私のところに人をよこした。それで私も同じように彼らに答えた。サヌバラテは5度目にも同じようにして若い者を私のところによこした。その手には1通の開封した手紙を持っていた。そこには次のように書いてあった。諸国民の間に言いふらされ、またゲシュムも言っているが、あなたとユダヤ人たちは反逆を企んでおり、そのためにあなたは城壁を立て直している。この噂によれば、あなたは彼らの王になろうとしている。またあなたはエルサレムで自分について宣言させられるために預言者たちを任命してユダに王がいると言わせている。今にこのようなことが王に聞こえるであろう。さあ、来なさい、一緒に相談しよう。そこで私は彼らのところに人をやって言わせた。あなたが言っているようなことはされない。あなたはそのことを自分で勝手に考え出したのだと。事実これらのことは皆あの者たちが気力を失って工事をやめ中止するだろうと考えて私たちを脅すためであった。ああ、今私を力づけてください。
Good morning. How are you doing? Good, good. I'm glad to see all of you here, especially now that football is starting. But God is more worthy than football, amen? That wasn't loud enough, but it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. Lately, we're talking about spiritual warfare today, and lately, when I pray, I started calling Jesus Sensei. I call him Sensei. He is my Lord, He is my Savior. But as you see throughout Scripture, there's different titles given to Jesus. And one of those titles in the Hebrew is Rabbi. And I started calling him Sensei, not in the sense of a spiritual teacher. Well, in the sense of a spiritual teacher, but in the sense of like a martial artist would call his sensei, sensei. Does that make sense? I don't know if any of you see Jesus that way. I don't know if any of you see your spirituality in that way, where Jesus can be your sensei. Where you could learn spiritual judo or spiritual jujitsu. And judo is an art form where you take somebody's aggression and use it against him. And you see Jesus do that all the time in Scripture. He had a lot of opposition who would challenge him, ask him questions, oppose him. And he would take their regressions and practice spiritual judo on them. And I said, Jesus, I need to learn spiritual judo. I don't know how to do that. So I'm going to call you sensei from now on. At this point in my life, I'm going to call you sensei because I want to know you in that way, and I want to grow in spiritual warfare. Today we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. I've talked about spiritual warfare as we've been going through the book of Nehemiah. And as we saw in the story in Nehemiah chapter 6, Nehemiah is about to finish one of his assignments in life, building the walls. It says, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, come let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. Maybe that gave it away, the Ono part gave it away to Nehemiah that this was a trap. Oh no. But we see here, and this is a spiritual principle, that whenever we move forward in the Lord, the enemy will respond in what sometimes is called stumbling blocks. Whenever you start growing in the Lord, there'll be opposition in your life. Whenever you start saying, you know what, I'm going to start going to church again, there'll be something that will come up. Whenever you come back from a great missions trip, or maybe a great conference, a great retreat, something will come up. Whenever you decide to start having regular prayer time, regular quiet time, something will come up. Whenever you move and begin to get excited for the Lord, something will come up. Unfortunately. Just to give you stumbling block is just an idiom, but it means to cause someone to fall, but really is to cause somebody to miss their mark in life, i.e. sin. To miss the mark in life. And we see Nehemiah on the threshold of finishing one of his greatest assignments in life, he has an opposition. A stumbling block is placed before him. And a lot of times, stumbling blocks can come in the form of just people around you. Satan probably will not manifest himself to you, but he will try to use, and he will use people around you. We saw in Matthew 16:23, Jesus, when he was about to finish one of his assignments in life, Peter tells him, no, Jesus, that's not the way to do it. Jesus turns to Peter and says, what? Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Scripture teaches us to make up our mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacle in the way of our brothers or sisters. And so, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, we can be a stumbling block to other people, and other people can be a stumbling block to us, but we do not wage war in flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual thing. And whenever we start moving in the Lord, there'll be something placed before us. If you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you're not moving in the Lord. But I've heard too many stories where it's not just me. Today we're blessed with having Dennis and Judy from Tokyo Baptist Church, a great church in Japan. I got to have dinner with them, and they were telling me stumbling blocks in their own ministry, and I'm like, oh, it's not just me. It's not just me that it happens to. It happens to all of us. One of the keys to avoiding stumbling block in our lives and continuing moving forward in the Lord is staying focused. I love how Nehemiah responds to his enemy's request. He says, he knew they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with the reply, I'm carrying on a great project and I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? I don't know how tempting it was for Nehemiah to actually go. It has been established that these people were already opposing him. Perhaps, though, the temptation was, maybe I could gain friends, or maybe diplomacy will work, or I don't know what the temptation was, but Nehemiah says, no, I'm not going to go. I have a great work. I'm going to finish what I started. I'm going to finish what the Lord placed on my heart. And I call this, the schemes of the enemy can be avoided by living by the one thing principle. The one thing principle. You see throughout Scripture, the phrase one thing used. David in Psalms 27:4 says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. And because he had that one thing kind of mentality, you see how many great songs he has written. In Philippians 3:13, the Apostle Paul says, brothers and sisters, I did not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I strain toward what is ahead. And Paul did many mighty works for the Lord. Amen. He was probably one of the greatest apostles, if not the greatest. Because he had that mentality of one thing, staying focused. Doesn't matter what stumbling block, what oppositions come before me, I'm going to be focused and have a one thing mentality. Rick Warren liked to say, you have a light diffused, but if you focus a light enough, it's strong enough to cut through metal. When light focused enough, it can cut through metal. Called a laser beam. In Luke 10:41-41, Jesus tells Martha, there is only one thing necessary, and your sister Mary has chosen the better. If you know the story of Martha and Mary, Martha was busy and distracted doing all these things and getting ready for the Lord, and Mary sat there and listened to Jesus' teaching, and Martha finally got fed up and said, Jesus, tell my sister to get off her butt and help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're distracted. Only one thing is necessary. Now, I can't tell you what that one thing is. There's one thing. But I can't tell you what that is. Because I'm not your Lord. I'm not your Savior. I'm called pastor, but I'm not your capital S sensei. You have to seek the Lord for what that one thing is for you. I've shared this with the group before, but as I was praying one day, I felt the Lord say, if you wanted one thing, what would that be? And I thought about it for a minute. If I could have one thing, what would that be? Let me ask you, if you could have one thing, what would that be? Money? Fame? Fortune? Wisdom? Knowledge? Understanding? Gold? Because I think gold is more precious than money. Anyways, if you could have one thing, what would that be? And I felt the Lord ask me that question, and I thought about it for a minute, and I said, Lord, if I could have one thing, I would want to abide in you, and your word abide in me. That is for me my one thing at this moment in my life. To abide in him and his word abide in you. Now what is your one thing? I do believe the Lord has something for you that he wants you to focus on. I do believe he has a redemptive purpose in your life that will bring glory to his name. But it does require us to seek it, to ask and to knock, and to not just say, well, I don't know, I don't care. If the Lord wants me to know what it is, he'll tell me. Well, I'm going to speak for the Lord. Seek it. He does have something for you that he wants you to accomplish in your lifetime, whether you're 8 or 80. Or in Kenji's case, 88. Kenji, the Lord is not finished with you yet. Amen. At 88. I believe the Apostle John, when he wrote one of the greatest books in the Bible, the book of Revelation, he was about... There's a couple of theologians in the room, so I don't want to say anything because I may be wrong. But he was past 70.
70?
Yes, sorry, am I not speaking loud enough? He's a young kid. Oh, 70 is a young kid. He was, well, 70 back then, maybe like 90 today because of inflation. No, I don't know. But Kenji, the Lord is not finished with you. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. If you're still breathing, the Lord has something, the reason why you're breathing. But there will be stumbling blocks in your life. There will be distractions. There will be things pulling you from finishing that. There will be opposition. It won't be easy. It will require you to stay focused. And a one thing principle is a good thing to have. Knowing it is the place to start. We see as Nehemiah gets even more focused, the pressure gets the pressure is turned on even more. In Nehemiah 6:5-6, it says, "Then a fifth time Sanballat sent his aid to me." So Sanballat sent Nehemiah five times these messengers, and the fifth time was the same message. And in the messenger's hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported among the nations and Geshem." Let me just read that. I have an abbreviated version on the PowerPoint, but I'd like to read that to you because there's some... Well, I'm not going to get into it, but there are some holes in this attack. "Then the fifth time Sanballat sent his aid to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, 'It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together. I sent him this reply, nothing like that, nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your own head. Sanballat and Geshem and the rest of those who opposed Nehemiah, their tactic was trying to scare Nehemiah from fulfilling his purpose, from rebuilding the wall. It was to scare him. And in fact, it wasn't just scaring him. They meant to kill him. And they were trying to say, hey, if you don't come, guess what? We're going to tell the king and he's going to kill you. He'll smash what you're doing. In an unsealed letter, Nehemiah was probably saying, hey, if this letter is so official, why don't you seal it or something? Why don't you put your seal of approval on it? But it was not sealed. When it comes to stumbling block, when it comes to opposition, a lot of times fear is a factor. If your enemies have their way, they'll probably want to kill you. And whenever you go into any kind of battle, warfare, it's important to have the right gear. Now, in scripture, there's a famous passage in Ephesians that talks about, Ephesians chapter 6, that talks about the armor of God. You guys familiar with that passage? It talks about a helmet, a shield, a breastplate, shoes, a sword, and all these things. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of new faces here, so I feel like I can share this. I like playing basketball. Those laughter are there because I share that with this group almost every Sunday. But for you new people, there's new people. I like playing basketball. In basketball, you need the right shoes. Some people say you need high tops for your ankles. I like wearing low tops. But you need the right shoes. You need comfortable shorts for basketball. I like to wear a loose fitting top. Actually, I like to wear sleeveless tops when I play basketball. It gives me more mobility. Sometimes in basketball, you need a headband. If you sweat like me, and you have, especially if you have salty sweat, because you don't want sweat coming in your eyes. And you need a ball to play basketball. Those are the gears you need to play basketball. Now go out and become a great basketball player. Pretty silly, right? If you're not practicing or playing, it doesn't matter what kind of shoes you have on. Doesn't matter if you have, you know, when I go play basketball, sometimes there are people that look the part. They're tall, they look like they're in shape, they have the right shoes, the right shorts, the right shirt. They have everything going for them. And when I go play basketball, I look like this with shorts and t-shirts, and so, you know, I get picked last a lot of times. But I'm pretty good. I'm alright, I'm okay. But it doesn't matter what you look like. You can have all the right gear, but if you're not practicing, if you're not playing, and if you're not trying to get better, you won't get better. I could tell you, you need helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth. But But if you're not engaging in righteousness, truth, not seeking peace, you have not asked Jesus as your Savior, you're not practicing and growing in faith, you're not in the Word, it doesn't matter if you could list off all the armor of God. It won't matter. You will get crushed in spiritual warfare if you're not practicing it. It doesn't matter how detailed you know about those things too. Oh, it's like a Roman sword, it was short so that it was double-sided and all that other stuff. You know, it was important to have shoes because if you're running in battle and your feet gets hurt, then you know, you can't battle. I could tell you all those things about basketball. It's important to box out and to make sure you're low and you tuck your elbows in and make sure you're dribbling with your fingertips. That doesn't matter. Right? It was kind of like me snowboarding for the first time. I read up on snowboarding and I got all the right gears, and the first time I went down the slope, I went down on my butt the whole time. Knowing it in principle and practicing it is two different things. And the key to practicing, the key to getting better, other than being focused, is having a great coach. If you want to get better in basketball, have a great coach. If you want to be great in judo, have a great good judo coach. Just don't read up on it. If you're struggling with spiritual warfare, if you're struggling with life, you need a great life coach. And his name is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And knowing Jesus as your sensei, knowing Jesus as your rabbi, knowing Jesus more than just knowing about him will get you through. You will hit the mark. You will make these stumbling blocks into stepping stones so that you can go from glory to glory in the Lord, finishing your assignment, bringing glory to God, being fulfilled in your life, and leaving this earth, stepping into glory. Because this life is not everything. This life in itself is just a stepping stone to greater glory. And Jesus will teach you how to do that. But you need to know him. You need to ask him. You need to engage with him. You need to talk with him. And you need to listen to him. Just like any player needs to listen to a coach. I encourage you, if you don't know Jesus, ask him, Jesus, I want to know you. Simply ask him, Jesus, if you're real, I want to know you. That will be one of the best prayers you've ever prayed. If you're real, I want to know you. And as you get to know Jesus, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you in my heart. I want you to be my sensei. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior. Teach me how to walk from glory to glory. Teach me how to finish my assignments and finish it well. Teach me how to live a life that is more than a conqueror. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. Jesus, we do want to know you more. We want to know the fullness of who you are. And Lord, I do pray right now, if there's anyone who doesn't know you, that they would simply pray, Lord, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. I do encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, just ask Him that question. If you're real, reveal yourself to me. And if He does reveal Himself to you, and I believe He will, I encourage you to seek Him more, to know Him. He is worthy. Sensei, I thank you so much for today. I pray, Lord, you will be glorified in this place. I pray, Father, that those who are struggling today with oppositions in their life, you will teach them how to make these stumbling stones, stumbling blocks, into stepping stones in their life. Lord, teach us how to move from glory to glory. Teach us how to live victoriously. Teach us how to live, Lord, bringing glory to your name, Father. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do encourage those of you who did pray, Jesus, if you're real, make yourself known to me. If you did pray that for the first time and there was, the Lord did reveal something, share that. I would love to hear that story.